Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Good to be with you this Tuesday, January 13th. We have an opportunity to talk with some of our friends, professors at Concordia Seminary here in St. Louis this morning on a recent grant. Joining us by phone this morning, Dr. Timothy Seleska, Associate Professor of Exegetical Theology at Concordia Seminary. Good morning, Dr. Seleska.
Good morning. Good to be here.
Oh, thank you. Glad to have you with us this morning. Tell us a little bit about what is the work of a professor of exegetical theology at Concordia Seminary?
Well, basically, I teach Old Testament, so I'll do a spectrum of courses from teaching beginning Hebrew to specific sections of books or specific books. So this quarter, for example, I'm teaching a Psalms and Writings course. So it's an exegetical course that focuses on the third section of the Hebrew canon that deals with the writings and specifically the Psalms. And I'm also teaching a two-credit class on how do you preach on Old Testament texts. So we'll do those kinds of things. I have both deaconess students and MDiv students in the classes, so have a good mixture of students.
Very good, very good. Also joining us in studio this morning, Dr. Joel Okamoto, professor of systematic theology at Concordia Seminary. Good morning, Dr. Okamoto.
Good morning to you, Andy, and to all of you out there.
Glad to have you here in studio this morning to talk about what's going on at Concordia Seminary today and some of the exciting things happening there. Tell us about systematic theology and what is the work of an associate professor of systematic theology at Concordia Seminary.
Systematic theology is talking about God or anything and everything else in view of God. So we might talk about God or mm-hmm. Jesus Christ or justification or the scriptures, but also things like other religions from the Christian standpoint, or like we're going to do with this grant, science. It's talking about things and looking for the right questions and good answers.
What all goes into a seminary education for the formation of a pastor? And we'll get to this grant here in a moment and figure out where that fits into this. I'd like to hear from both of you what goes into a seminary education for the formation of a pastor. And we also have, as Dr. Seleska mentioned, we have deaconess students as well. What goes into an education how does the systematic theology fit into that? How does exegetical theology fit into that? Dr. Okamoto?
The seminary education is really just a form of Christian education. It's more formal, it's often more theoretical or advanced, but it's nothing more than being formed as Christians to know, to trust in, mm-hmm. to speak about our God and His Son, Jesus Christ, and the power of the Spirit, and especially for certain kinds of responsibilities, certain kinds of callings. Being a pastor, being a missionary, being a deaconess, and the like. The place of what we'll call systematic theology is simple. All Christians are systematic theologians. Everybody's talking about God and what He's up to. Something great happens, and we just say, thank God. Something bad happens, and it's, oh my God, or why God? And everybody is like that. So the question isn't whether we should be theologians, it's what does it mean to be a good one? Mm-hmm. And then for those who are in positions of leadership, pastor, for instance, or deaconess, then helping them to help others to be faithful Christians, faithful theologians, faithful prayers and praisers and the like.
Dr. Seleska, tell us from your perspective, pastoral formation, deaconess formation, church worker formation. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I would say, just to kind of build on what Joel has said, here at the seminary, one of the things that we really work hard on is helping the students to integrate what they learn in the classroom with experiential types of learning that will prepare them to go out and serve the world, the church, the people in their neighborhood, kind of where they are at. And so that's why part of a seminary formation involves things like, in my class, we will take a look at the Psalms. A lot of our discussion will be, how is this God's word to us? How do we read it in light of who Jesus is and what he has done for us? And then also things like, how would you preach on a text like this? Or how would you teach it? Or how would you use it in ministry? And those kinds of experiences in the classroom then are matched with experiences outside through field work, through different like evangelism modules, our Mission Shift Institute, those kinds of things that will help them take what they have learned in the classroom and begin to use it as they minister to real people out in the real world. Another thing that the seminary does that I think is important, you can think of integration in another way. Everybody comes in here formed in a certain way with a certain story. The Lord has been working in their life through many people, through his word, sometimes for years, sometimes for a relatively short time. And to take their story, and part of the task that they need to do is to be able to integrate what they learn in the classroom and their various experiences here all the way through with their own personal story, so that when they graduate as deaconess students or as pastors, they're able to, again, effectively and faithfully proclaim God's word and touch people where they are at in our culture and in their world.
Where does science fit into seminary education? Quite often, I think there is a misconception that science has no place in theological study or pastoral formation, or that you must compromise something either on the side in the discipline of science, or you must compromise something in theology in your study of the scriptures in order for them to work in to study these in harmony. Where does science have a place in this theological education pastoral formation, Dr. Seleska?
Well, first of all, I think, science is, if you kind of think of it as people trying to figure out how this marvelous world works, this marvelous creation of God, and, think about, the mysteries that are part of our created world. If you kind of begin to think of science that way, then you can see that we're all involved in it in one degree or another. I mean, it's kind of all around us. It's part of us. So that we don't have to start out with the assumption that what we teach here at the seminary is somehow going to automatically be compromised or is opposed to what science does. When you think of the things that scientists and people in that field have been able to do to help improve our lives and lengthen lives, we're all kind of a part of that. So I think it's important that students begin to grapple with making proper distinctions, learn how the great truths that God's Word has given us, how we can effectively proclaim it in a world here in which, science occupies such a prominent place. I don't think we'll serve our students or the church very well if we tend to take a kind of a siege mentality rather than trying to engage people with the really important questions that they're asking and that they're being faced with in their world, too.
Dr. Okamoto, where does science fit in this this pastoral education, pastoral formation?
Well, I'll pick up on what Tim was just saying and add that science today is just a central feature of contemporary life. As I was explaining to you, as I got here early at the studios at KFUO, and I'm familiar with this drive because I have children who go to a local Lutheran school here. And science, technology, math are central features of their education. Without modern science, we wouldn't be able to talk like we are here on the radio.
Thanks to Marconi, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just an essential feature of contemporary life, and we should account for that. There's no escaping it. Mm-hmm. Good or bad, here it is. It's such a major feature of our lives, and we should appreciate it. It's so basic that we I think often don't. It's just natural. You go to school. It's part of most of our businesses. It's technology and science for entertainment and communication, transportation. So it's unthinkable. And it has such a shaping effect because it's so prevalent that that's another reason to take account of it. Plus, its explanations well, really are pretty powerful, and many people find them very persuasive. And in that respect, they shape just what we understand the world to be or what a human being is. And, of course, the Christian faith has something to say about those, too. Well, how do we explain what Christians believe about ourselves or about the world in view of, you know, alternative explanations? And so it's just, I think, an essential sort of thing to take up.
It seems to me it would be important for pastors, deaconesses, other church workers to be informed and knowledgeable on various world views on science as well in order to serve faithfully in their vocations, to be knowledgeable of these world views that you were talking about earlier. I think that would be important. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we're going to talk about what's happening at the seminary in order to help further that education for Concordia Seminary students here in St. Louis. Stick around for more His Time as we talk with Dr. Zaleska and Dr. Okamoto at Concordia Seminary right here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
You've discovered Worldwide KFUO, a radio station where you can find the clear biblical understanding of Christianity proclaimed daily in both word and song. Our talk programs can be heard live or on demand at your convenience anytime worldwide. The KFUO talk programs proclaim the true word of God, focused on salvation through Christ and Scripture alone. You've discovered KFUO.org, the messenger of good news.
Hi, I'm Mark Hawkinson with an invitation for you to join me over the weekday noon hour for Moments of Assurance, your lunchtime spiritual recipe. You'll enjoy encouraging scriptures, a bit of Bible history and trivia, news items, humor, the kids' corner, and more, all mixed in with faith-strengthening sacred music, a blend just right for your midday hour. So join me, won't you? That's Moments of Assurance over the weekday noontime hour here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
This is a newly born radio station, KFUO.
Those were the first words spoken on KFUO. But before those words could even be broadcast, it took a group of volunteers and supporters to cover the cost of constructing our very first radio facility.
On this occasion, we also wish to express our hearty thanks to all Christians who have given or pledged their contributions toward the erection and upkeep of this station.
Since those historic words, KFUO has relied on supporters to bring us through our first 90 years. And KFUO continues to need your support to move forward into our next. Will you prayerfully consider supporting the worldwide outreach of KFUO with a gift today? For a suggested gift of $90 or more, we'll say thank you with a collector's edition 90th anniversary I Lutheran t-shirt. To give your gift, contact Joni or Mary at 314-996-1512. Thank you for your continued support and prayers for Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates, 7:45 Central Time. Today we are talking with Dr. Timothy Zaleska and Dr. Joel Okamoto, professors at Concordia Seminary here in St. Louis. We're talking about the new grant that the seminary recently received. It comes from the American Association for the Advancement of Science. It's a Science for Seminaries program. Dr. Zaleska, tell us about where this began. I was during the break talking with Dr. Okamoto. Why would the seminary be interested in a grant that would help them teach more about science for the seminarians?
Okay, well, yeah, first of all, Joel is kind of the head person on that. So as far as the nuts and bolts, you should probably ask him.
Sure.
I can kind of address the bigger question. I mean, I got involved in it because one of the, I think, goals of the grant is to not simply develop a course about science and then add it to the curriculum, but somehow to have the kinds of discussions Joel was talking about. You know, the science raises important questions about who we are as human beings, what is the world, you know. I mean, big questions about life and meaning in life, and Christians and the scriptures have very important, beautiful perspectives on that. And so how do we address the concerns and questions of people in our culture today, so that the grant wants to try to integrate that more thoroughly within the curriculum. So part of what I'm trying to do in the Psalms and Writings class is to begin to do that. So, you know, part of the things that we're doing is trying to do a few things here and there as we kind of get into how we might address the issues that we want to address, how we may help our students better. So I think that's important, that we don't just say, well, we'll handle this in a course or two, and and everything else will kind of do whatever we've been doing. So it really forces us to engage some big questions that the world is asking within the curriculum on a much more ground level view, you know, so that students are formed kind of continually through their course of study here. I think that's what interests me about it. I'm also functioning as the dean of ministerial formation, so part of the thing that I'm involved in as well is the whole curriculum review process, and so this is going to be an important part of that.
And we shouldn't overlook your most important vocation, coach of the preacher's basketball team.
This is true. That always gets the biggest applause for whatever reason. That's the way it is.
Dr. Okamoto, the American Association for the Advancement of Science offers this Science for Seminaries program. Tell us where this began, how Concordia Seminary got connected with this and became one of 10 Christian seminaries in the country to receive this grant.
Yes, the AAAS is working in conjunction with the Association of Theological Schools. That association accredits seminaries, for instance, ours, and provides resources and venues for discussion. And so they sent out a notice and invited letters of interest. And later we were invited to apply for participating in the program, and after some reflection, we decided we would pursue that, and so we did.
What does this grant mean for Concordia Seminary and the education offered there now?
Well, let me explain what the kind of two parts of the basic ones. So one is, as Dr. Selesko was explaining, to integrate science in some way into core courses, not to offer a course on, say, theology and science or religion and faith, but to integrate them into something we teach all of our students. And so Dr. Selesko is doing that with Psalms and Writing. Dr. Bob Weiss is doing that with Pastoral Theology, a basic course for our concluding seminarians. And so that's one part of it, and just trying this out, because most institutions, including ours, haven't done this. Well, we do some of that, of course. When we talk about creation, we deal with macroevolution, for instance. But with Dr. Selesko and Psalms and Writings, we'll explore things like the soul, and those are things we haven't done. We might like to, and this gives an opportunity to do that. The other part is wider campus engagement, and so we're going to have devote our next theological symposium, that's a campus event that we have every year at Concordia Seminary, to memory and the mind. We're looking to bring in a couple of neuroscientists and also a psychologist. We're still planning that. We're almost done with that, but and explore some of the insights or the findings they have and what they might mean or might not mean for pastoral care and the like. We're going to have a book club, you know, give books to our students, and also we do that already as part of our continuing education, but something on memory and mind in association with the symposium. And these are things that this grant allows us to pursue. We would do this anyway, but this gives us some resources, and they help to defray some of the expenses. And so it's a good opportunity to do it right now.
How big is the grant?
The proposed the grant we asked for is for about $93,000.
Wow. So that all those things that you mentioned earlier, that would help cover those things to make those possible.
Yes, it would.
It's amazing how quickly, though, $93,000 can go, huh?
Yes, it is.
Well, how will this all be implemented? Is this something that will happen over just the next couple of years, or do you think this will have more of a long-term effect? What do you think?
Well, the term of the grant is for a couple of years, but I am pretty sure that it will have a longer effect. As I mentioned, the seminary has been interested in this for more than 20 years. We've had a chair for pastoral ministry and life sciences occupied by Bob Weiss. In the past, we've had a theological symposium on theology and science. We have a Center for the Care of Creation headed by Dr. Chuck Arend. So these are things already, or this direction is something we're already committed to. And so this is just moving in the same direction.
Dr. Seleska, how does this grant support the education of students at Concordia Seminary? How will it shape the future of this education?
No, I think that just because of a number of things that are happening now, I really think that what Joel said is right, that that the things that we are going to be doing over the next couple of years, like he said, we're going to be trying different things, seeing what works, seeing what doesn't work. It gives us an opportunity to do that in kind of a creative way. And so if we're mindful of the opportunity that this gives us as we're thinking through the curriculum revision that we're undergoing right now, we will be able to, I think in a very nice kind of very integrative way, take what we're learning in these couple of years so that it just becomes part of our DNA, the way we do things, the way we engage questions that the world brings up. You know, and again, Joel and I have talked about this a lot, and he's really good at talking about this stuff, but the questions that people are asking today may not be the same questions that they asked 50 years ago or 100 years ago. So our students today need to be familiar with those questions. How would we articulate Christian viewpoints? How do we help people think through theologically the answers and implications and, you know, wrestle with that? I think that's the joy of ministry, to be able to meet people where they're at and now be able to gather around God's Word and His teachings and help everyone kind of come to a clearer understanding of what the gospel is and the good news that what God has done for us in Jesus, kind of in light of all these things that keep coming up in the world. I think a seminary curriculum needs to be flexible enough to be able to respond to those kinds of changing things. And the grant will enable us now to start to do that in a more far-reaching way than we have before, and I think that's really a positive thing for us.
How is Concordia Seminary different when it approaches this discipline of science compared to maybe some of the other schools that receive this grant or other institutions when it comes to teaching science? How is Concordia Seminary different, Dr. Seleska?
That's a hard question because I don't know what the other schools are going to be doing, actually. So I suppose that until we kind of are deep into it, we won't be able to reflect on that. But I think there are opportunities for us to meet with leaders of other seminaries and maybe begin to compare notes and see, you know. So I can't presume to tell you that until I think we have a little more history behind us, until we actually are able to gather with other people and find out what's going on, actually. And maybe that's an exciting part of the grant.
Sure. Dr. Okamoto, about 2 minutes left.
Yeah. I'll just pick up on that. That is right. That is part of the program to bring some of these, well, bring all of these schools together, and to compare notes and ask about these things, because this is the kind of thing we haven't actually thought about. What are other people doing to an extent, but in this kind of way, no. And it will be interesting to learn. I'm sure that's true.
Well, as confessing Lutherans, we take a clear stand on subjects such as topics such as evolution. I'm sure that'll be interesting when those conversations come up and how you approach those.
Yeah, I'm sure it will be.
It will be. Yeah.
Well, I'm grateful that that we've received this grant and that that Concordia will be able to put it to good use. Gentlemen, thank you very much for your time today and sharing with us about the grant, the Science for Seminaries grant that Concordia has received this year. Dr. Timothy Seleska, he serves as Associate Professor of Exegetical Theology and teaching Hebrew and Old Testament, writing Psalms commentary for Concordia Publishing House, also Dean of Ministerial Formation, and Coach of the Preachers basketball
team.
Come
on out to
your play. Dr. Joel Okamoto, Associate Professor of Systematic Theology at Concordia Seminary and Chair of the Department of Systematic Theology, and also the Waldemar and Mary Griesbach Chair of Systematic Theology at the SIM. Did I get that right?
You did.
Thank you, gentlemen, for spending some time talking with us today. I appreciate your time today. Thank you.
Thank you
very much.
Coming up in just a little bit, we've got our study of the daily New Testament reading. Today, we're going to study with Pastor Skelton from Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Highlands Ranch, Colorado. Hope you can stick around for that as we get into Romans today, chapter 4, verses 1 through 25. Stick around for more His Time right after this break on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.